Please stand for this hymn. Brethren, we have come to worship, to join in worship. Welcome to Living Springs, Wesleyan, this morning. How many are glad to be here? How many are glad to be in air conditioning? Naked everybody's hand. Well, we thank the Lord that you're here. We have a lot of our group that are traveling and some that are ill and things like that, but it's good to see everybody. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning because, as Peter said, Lord, to whom else should we go? Thou alone has the words of eternal life. Lord, you're the only one to go to, and we're so grateful that you are accessible. We are so grateful that you allow us to come in your name. You have given us, Lord, the power of attorney in your name. You have given us, Lord, your essence yourself. We are so humble and so grateful that you have done that. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day that you have made that's unlike any other. And I ask, Lord God, that your name would be glorified today, that you would do that unique thing in us and through us, Lord, that cannot be accomplished, Lord, with feet of clay. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each one, and I pray your touch upon this service, that you would be exalted and you would be glorified throughout this building with the children, Lord, and with each one that is gathered and those that may be on their way. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. May be seated for a minute. Have a couple of announcements. There's a new announcement in your bulletin about the women's ministry, and I want to make sure we note about it. We've got a greeting card ministry that started. It's high quality box greeting cards that are going to be available at less than retail rates. You know, that's one thing about being a Christian. It's called saving things, having a discount. Jesus is the master of the save, isn't he? Virginia is going to handle this and take care of it, so you can let her know when you want something, and they'll be on display in the fireside room. And don't forget about the ladies' ministry and all that they do, and there is continuing place back there where you can donate if you they need your help. September 4th, this is not in the bulletin, but September 4th is going to be furniture giveaway for the Barnetts, for the CSF, for the internationals. And they're asking if anyone has any kind of household goods. They don't need clothing. They don't need electronics unless you have radios, apparently. Furniture, appliances, things like that. So when they get back, they're coming back Wednesday. You can let them know if you have something. And certainly be praying that those articles that go into the lives of the students would have more than just an effect of somebody sitting on it. It would bring the gospel and the peace of God to people's hearts. Then there is an orange piece of paper back there that looks like a card. It is made into a card for our beloved Harry. So many of you have already signed it, and I would encourage everybody to sign it. Put a little note to him, and then put down your favorite hymn, because he loves hymns, and as Dave wrote, Harry is his hymn. So write your favorite hymn. If you have two, you can squeak in a second one, but we thought he would like that, and he's doing better, and we're so grateful. And Dory is doing better. She's witnessing in the nursing, in the facility, so people come up to her and say, how can you do it, you know, going through all this pain and stuff? And she's able to share about Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, Linda.
Just worried about our Christmas boxes. It's getting later in the year. We've only got actually 2 months left. Right now, all school supplies are on sale at Walmart. You can get boxes of crayons for 25 cents. All kinds of stuff. So if you're out and about, you might want to stop and pick up some school supplies because it's really a good time to do that. Other than that, we still need soap and we need some toothpaste.
Okay. Another wonderful, wonderful ministry. So keep that in mind. Now, I'm looking over, scanning over, going, gee, you're such delightful people. I think you should greet each other. Trust and obey. Seems like if one is left out, you're obeying without the trust, or you're trusting and you're not obedient. It's not a complete package. So why don't you stand? We're going to sing, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Now Wednesday night, in my next One Word Wonder, I'm going to teach on the word know, to know. It's an important word. I have been joined. Isn't that lovely?
You look too lonely up here. So we conspired.
Well, thank you for conspiring. I know whom I have believed. It's not an intellectual knowledge. It's a spiritual relationship. Okay.
I know. Now, this is a song
that's not as familiar, probably. I am the God that healeth thee. It's in the present tense. If you're here today and you need a healing, you need a touch from the Lord, either stand if you can or raise your hand as we sing and ask the Lord for his touch on your life. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, for every hand raised, every heart that needs your touch, and even any of us that don't know we have need of you. Lord, I pray that you would be very real through your word. Your word is your instrument. It is, Lord, the double-edged sword. It is the surgeon's scalpel. It is, Lord, everything that we need, Lord, to find you. And I ask that you would be powerful in your word and hearing, Lord, what we say in our hearts, and would you speak loudly, but still, so our hearts know it is you. Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank my helpers this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn to the 9th chapter. Yes. I think it's the sun through here. Yeah, we got to talk to God about that. I agree, if it's in the way we should hand out visors. Sunglasses, yeah. Because then we'll all look cool. So that'll be good. I'm going to ask you to turn to the 9th chapter of the book of John for the first 7 verses. And I've asked Norm to please come up and to read the word. Please stand to honor the word.
John 9, verses 1 through 7. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Then when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made a clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back, seeing.
Amen. You may be seated. I was in choir, I think it was in the 9th grade choir, And we sang a song called He. How many remember that song? Came out in 1964. And apparently with a number of different artists, it did pretty well on the charts. It's not too often that a spiritual song does well on the secular charts, but this one did. And the words are, He can turn the tides and calm the angry sea. He alone decides who writes a symphony. He lights every star that makes our darkness bright. He keeps watch all through each dark and lonely night. Have you ever been there? He still finds the time to hear a child's first prayer. Saint or sinner, call and always find him there. Though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say, I forgive. It's a great song. And I want to highlight that in the word healing. We're only going to deal with the first two letters. It's called He. My concern in Christianity to a great degree is that people want the healing without the He. They want God to answer questions and concerns of their life, but they want to be disassociated with Him. Now, God in His grace heals. God in His grace answers our questions. But He's under no mandate to have a relationship with people that don't want one and that don't seek it. Aren't you glad He is the master and the healer? This is a story of a man who was born blind. We all have a story. How many want your story to be God's story? Truthfully, really, our story should be His, if you want to be biblical. And I know you do. In this great portion of Scripture, I'm going to talk about three things the Lord did. First of all, there was a concealing. Secondly, there was a revealing. And thirdly, there was a healing. How many know, or you've experienced, the Lord conceals things for a while? He does. He wants to see, first of all, how hungry we are, and secondly, if we'll come to Him. Most people wait until they've tried every other manner, and then they go to the Lord. You know, we ought to be praying when we go to the doctor, for instance, and say, Lord, bless this doctor. Give them the understanding to know my situation. Instead of waiting until they don't have an answer, and then we really need prayer. This portion of Scripture is taken right after Jesus has had some conversations with the Jewish leaders. And He says these words. Jesus tells them, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was, I am. This is a time of the revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. And He has given them the great name of the Old Testament, Yahweh, which is God's personal name to His people. And in the law of first mention, which I'll say a lot, is this happened at the time of the creation of man and woman. That's the first time you'll see the name Yahweh, because it reveals God's main intent is to reveal Himself through His people, and actually through marriage, but through His people. And so Jesus says, I am. It's exactly who I am. Then they started stoning Him, so then He obscured Himself and He hid Himself so they couldn't see Him any longer. And He comes to this man, and He comes out in the open again. Do you know the Lord exposed Himself because of us? You know that? He put Himself in danger because of us and of our need. So here we find, He finds a man. He went along. How many think this was coincidence? Or do you think this is a God appointment? I don't believe in coincidence. I believe God's in charge of every detail of our life. And he finds a man born blind from his birth. The Greek word here, genetes, means, it's the same root as the word Genesis. It means beginning. It means the origin of life. And so when Jesus is talking here, this whole story actually is going to take us farther back than the beginning of this man. It's going to take us all the way back to Genesis, which is the book of beginnings, the seed of new life, and revealing who God really is. And so the disciples, in their interest, they ask him a question. How many know the Lord doesn't mind questions? What he gets upset about is when we question him, and there is a difference. You can ask a question. Jesus did that very often. That was a lot of his way of conversing. But to question the nature of God, it's okay to do that to begin with, but we should be growing and knowing who God is. And anyway, they ask him, and they say, Rabbi, and here's a question that's still being asked today. Who sinned? Him or his parents? Now, if you're a parent here, you're probably sick of being blamed for everything your kids have ever done. I'm guessing. But the word, when he's referring to the rabbi here, I just want to let you know this, from the Greek rab, it is an original word that means Lord and Master. And it became known to be used of one that was an extraordinary teacher of the law. But I find this interesting because Jesus is not just a teacher. He's not just dispensing knowledge. He's the origination of the knowledge, right? He is knowledge. He is expression. He is everything we need. He's the source of life and everything on this earth. And so he asks a question, who sinned? You're going to blame the blind guy? You're going to blame the parents? The word sin here, hamartian, is another word in the aorist sense that means it has rippling effects throughout life. And sin does do that. Now let me remind you, not all sickness is from sin. Not all sickness is from sin. Some can be from foolishness. As I shared last week in the communion table, some can be from totally having a disregard for the table of God and putting that wall between you and the Lord. Some can be from sin. That's true. And some, as in this case, has a different reason. And so we find the question, why? Why? Well, the Lord has a reason, and he's concealed it for a purpose. Do you know there's a statement that says the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed? When you read them together, the fullness you receive, because you get a better picture of God's purpose. It's wonderful. Study Leviticus and Hebrews together, and you'll get a real bang. It's a great, great portion of Scripture. So the concealing takes place first. Then the Lord reveals it. And first, he does what he always does. He answers the questions. You know, he's not like a politician. Do you know that? Politicians don't really answer questions. They kind of delay them until after the election. But here, he does something interesting. He not only answers a question, but he diffuses an emotional bomb. Because how many are sitting in this room, and you don't have to raise your hand, but you've spent the most of your life trying to figure out what you did wrong to get in the situation you're in? And the Lord diffuses it right here. Master, teacher, who sinned, him or his parents? And here's the great word, Jesus again. Here he's a one-word wonder. He says, neither. And in the original, it can mean neither or nor. It means he didn't sin, and his parents didn't. Now, it doesn't mean they're not sinners, okay? There's a distinction between the fact we're all sinners saved by grace, and if particular sin affected our life to cause a physical calamity, as in this case. In this case, it was not because of the sin of the parents. It was not because of the sin. How could it be the product of the sin of the child? He was born from birth blind. When did he sin? Unless when he was crying, he was saying something else. I sincerely doubt that. So what has to happen here is the Lord is inviting their mind into the process and saying, neither sinned. Neither. We need to know in our head here and in our spirit what is truth, because it affects our body. 2 John 3 will talk about that. Beloved, I wished above all that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. To the degree our soul, which is our mind, emotions, and will, to the degree that that is prospering in the spirit, is the degree we will find healing and victory in our life and in our bodies. We have to go deeper than the surface to find what God has. And so Jesus said here, he said, neither of them sinned, but so that the works of God can be made manifest. The word manifest just simply means to be clear, to be out there so people can see it. Jesus here goes on to talk about, as long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. You know what Jesus is using this story to teach? Because it's a teaching moment. He is telling them that mankind has been blind spiritually from birth. And that unless Jesus is the center of their world, they will continue to be blind. He is saying, I will continue to work while it is day. And what better illustration could be than somebody blind from birth? There's absolutely no medical ability to change this. It has to be a divine touch. And Jesus didn't forget this man born blind either, by the way. He remembered him. It's to reveal the works of God. And so what the Lord does, he takes us all the way back to Genesis, to the creation of man and woman, really, when he does this. And the Bible says he spit on the ground. Now, I don't know about you, but I always thought that was disgusting. And when I grew up, we'd drive in the car and my dad would, you know, be out the window. And then the wind would blow it in the back seat. So that was always lovely. But it sounds kind of disgusting to me. However, did you know that in the saliva, there is healing agents? There is. There are people that, like the Aborigines, they use it because they don't have as much water. And they have a lower incidence of infection in their children. You wouldn't think so, but it's true. Now, don't you think it's really God that he put something in your body that would actually heal it? And if we look within and we look to him, we'll find some healings that we're not even aware of. So he spits on the ground, the very ground that he touched when he made Adam. It's the same ground. And he mixed it with his saliva. You remember in the book of Genesis where it talks about the ground, it said it had been watered. God had watered it. He's using the same instrument here. It forms mud, which is also good for your skin. It doesn't look very good. And I wouldn't advise you to put it on before your husband gets home, because then he'll be really afraid. But it was the instrument God used. Now, if you're like me, which if you are, you're probably scary right now, but that same hand that reached down and brought that dust and made man is the same hand that wrote the tablets of stone, same hand that wrote on the wall in the book of Daniel, and it's the same hand that wrote in the sand in the New Testament. Remember when the people were telling the woman she should be killed for adultery, forgetting the fact that there was probably more than one man that was helping himself and should have went with her. The same hand. Everything Jesus did here points right back to the origin of his creative brilliance. And it's a wonderful, wonderful portion of Scripture. And that's the reason I want to talk about it, because it does something very important here. It highlights he instead of me. It highlights he instead of me. I am convinced if we come to the Lord for him, his love and grace will touch us. I think we're far too self-oriented in this society, which I blame my generation for to a great degree. Everything is me, 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 me. God has a hard time fitting into that sometimes because he won't push us. And then, of course, we have a lot of the philosophies of the world that do love to blame the parents. Now, I know that we're affected by our upbringing and what's around us. We all are. And they may have set the tone, but I assure you, we're the ones who turn the dial. We cannot blame them for the rest of our life. The Bible says the child or the person is responsible for their own sin and their own life. So we go on in the story here, and we come to the healing. This is the part everybody wants, but we don't want the concealing or the revealing. We want to head right to the healing. But the Lord has a purpose. And he tells him to do something here that's interesting. He says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And that word means sent. Am I dirty? Why am I going to the pool? Would you find that odd? The Lord said, I want to touch you, David, and I want you to go to the Mississippi. Well, first of all, you'd have a lot of prayer to go to the Mississippi, because I'm not sure that's the source. But it seems kind of odd. Well, let me tell you a very important secret, if you want to call it that, in the Word of God. There is healing that will not come unless we're obedient. We have to be obedient to that master, to that rabbi, to that Lord we claim to follow. He says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And that word means sent. It means to be an apostle. It means to go tell something, meaning the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus was sent of the Father. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does what? He sends the church, right? He's the one who sends us. It's important to have the obedience in our life. If the Lord is dealing with you in some area of your life and you're fighting it, it will impede any healing that comes forward. It really will. It's important to follow the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're supposed to trust and obey, which Maria beautifully sang this morning. And he goes along here, and I love this, because in the 8th verse, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging, they asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Because by this time the Lord has healed him. And some claimed he was, and of course others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. Remember at the beginning, Jesus utters the I am of the Old Testament, of the Lordship of God, of the Yahweh. This is the beggar's I am. He is saying, I am he. I am the man that was the beggar. I was blind. I was in that position, and now I'm different. Now I'm changed. It's a wonderful testimony. But they couldn't see it because they were the ones really blinded. Do you know? There are people that see that have great blindness because they don't want to see it. But God wants us to see it. What is the purpose of the healing of this man? What is the purpose behind his blindness? It was to be a life lesson to show the people at that time that one thing, you are blind from birth, but in Jesus Christ you will see like you've never seen before. And it will do a second thing, it will show the Lordship of Jesus Christ, which is imperative. If all we have is a church, and I don't mean Living Springs, but the general church, if all we have are people that come and say, me, 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 and we don't concentrate on he, we're going to have a very weak, self-oriented church. And the Lordship of Jesus Christ will not be anywhere. How many want the Lordship of Christ? How many want the miracles of God? He has to be in charge. I had an aunt many, many years ago. They're all gone now, but and I don't know what the condition was, but it was some kind of condition where she had five feelers in her back or neck area. She couldn't feel anything from the neck up. Nothing. Not one thing. Now, when you have a really bad headache, you probably would think, I wish I was like that. But you know when you don't have pain, you can't be healed because you don't know you have a need. And pain, as difficult as it is, reveals that there needs to be a healing, there needs to be a touch. So when we talk about this scripture, we find out there are times in our life when whether it's healing you need or maybe financial need or some other need in your life, God may want to use it as a life lesson in showing his lordship, his supremacy, and also to show to the people around about that says, you know, I used to know Kathleen. She's sure different now. They're going to say, that can't be you. I mean, when I got saved, I remember people said, and they still say it, it's just a fad. Well, it's a 40-year fad. Going strong. I want people to say, boy, something's different in you. That's what the people are saying to Dory in the nursing facility. And she's not telling them how great she is. She's telling them how wonderful Jesus is. And they can see it because she's met the Master and God is touching her. We sang a chorus earlier, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. The second verse of that goes like this. Now I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve it. I'd never know what faith in his word could do. Aren't you glad we can have a life of looking to him instead of always concentrating on me? Because I can guarantee you, God is concentrating on me and you. He's already done that, and he continues to do it in his intercession in the presence of heaven. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads. Now I'm going to ask you, first of all, are you here today? And you'd say, you know, I think when I pray, and I'm glad the Lord answers my prayers and that he lets me come to him, but I'm feeling like maybe it's a little too much me. I focus too much on me, and I need to focus on him, his greatness, his glory, his word, because that will be the mirror that shows me his grace for me and for others. And you'd say with an upraised hand, I really want to put Jesus first. I want to focus on him. And you raise your hand so I can pray for you. Focus on him. And maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know, I blame myself. Maybe I blame my parents. Maybe I blame my spouse. But I've spent a lot of time blaming. And I want to be free from that. What I want to do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you doing in my life in this moment that is redemptive, that is a message worth sending to the world round about me? And I want prayer because I don't want to blame. I want to call out to the name of Jesus Christ. And you'd say, pray for me. You're here. Heavenly Father, I pray for those that have lifted their hands and are lifting their hearts before you. Lord, we're so grateful that we don't have to concentrate on us all the time because you've already done that. You made a way for us in the wilderness that we don't deserve. And if we'd see in your face the light of the world, we'd know that we don't have to walk in that darkness, that you'll make a way for us, for each of us. And I pray for those today, Lord, that focus entirely too much on themselves. I pray that you would give them a comfort and a confidence that as they put you first, you'll take care of their needs. Because you said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You are the God of multiplication, and you'll add your blessing. And then for those, Lord, that are in the blame game, I pray you'd liberate them today, and you'd let them know that, furthermore, you're not blaming them either. Free them from the guilt and the shame and the lies of the devil, that they may see you in a clearer way today, that the I Am of God Almighty can help us to say, I am his child, and I am going forward looking to him. Father, I pray you touch each. Lord, in your blessed name I pray. Amen. Please stand for the song that Harvey was talking about. Be still and know that I am God. Let's sing the first verse of that again. Be still and know. We're going to pray for the meal, and I'm going to ask if you're in a wheelchair or have a walker to go first, and I'm going to ask Jerry to come up and to pray.
Dear Heavenly Jesus, we know you are our God, you are our Savior. We thank thee, dear Jesus, for coming into our hearts and into our souls. And we thank you for this church and the people in it, dear Lord Jesus. We ask you to bless this meal. We ask you to touch it to our bodies, dear Jesus. We just ask you to help us to obey you and follow you. Again, you are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. We thank you so much. In Jesus' precious name, amen.